So this time I'm talking about what the participants were saying about their what they did, what sort of education, those who had experiences of some sort of educational or some sort of educational experience post AMEP. Now we used a, so in some parts of the data we actually used a fuzzy boundary for what's post AMEP, and we did count some vocational courses that were done that were included, such as the AMEP and the and some other work experience programs that were delivered by AMEP providers, because we thought they had a quality of post-AMEP courses within the AMEP. That makes some sense. Okay. We actually found, because of the nature of the interview data, and because we've got four quarterly interviews per participant, that actually quantifying and going through, we said, well, let's count up how many people did this sort of thing and that sort of thing. But when we went back to try and like get our hands on it, it was actually all over the place, and so it's actually difficult to quantify. Some people do multiple courses, some didn't do any, some did one thing in one quarter and didn't finish the course and then went on to something else. So it's actually fairly complex what happened to the participants over the 12 months. Only a relatively small number of the participants went on to some sort of post-AMEP education. Some of them were still, of course there were some who were still in the AMEP, even at the end of the data collection. Some had left to go and get move into employment, so didn't do any sort of further education. Some were at home with children, and some said they couldn't afford fees. Some did some part-time study and some part-time work. Of those that went on to some sort of course, there was a tendency for the people who were the SESRI Level 1 learners tended to go into ESL courses, whereas the higher level learners went more into vocationally oriented courses that were either, you know, certificates in particular vocational fields, even though some of those vocational courses were with the AMEP providers. And this is the extent to which we did it. We did do some quantification of what happened with our sample in quarter four. So this was the situation from the quarter four interview data. I think the interesting thing about reading this is if you have a look, it tends to sort of go across this way. They're grouped by SESRI level, so what you're finding is that the lower level students tend to go into other ESL, further English courses, where the higher level students, there's a sort of a tendency for them to be doing the vocational courses. Does that make sense? Okay. There's some variation, because you've got these eight down here at this centre. So there's a bit of particular things happen in particular centres, either the dynamics of the group or something going on, perhaps some program offered by, or some approach to a situation offered by that centre. So, our overall patterns. And Charlotte alerted to me this. She got her head up from the computer one day and said, they all want to do childcare, aged care, or beauty therapy. And it's across all SESRI levels. And we've got a couple of comments about this.
I won't read you all the comments here because I know we're pressed for time. But that's just an example of the typical comment that we got from women who want to do childcare. We have a trend as well that it's mainly women with children or older women who want to do childcare courses. So this is a typical comment that they said that after their MEP, they would like to enroll to tech to do a diploma in childcare and to eventually find a job in childcare. There seems to be a perception among these participants that they will get a reasonable amount of pay if they work in childcare, and that there will be sufficient work in childcare. So that's one comment about childcare. And this is another one about hairdressing, and this is also a typical thing that we normally get with hairdressing, that ultimately they want to study hairdressing so that they can eventually own their own business, so they don't have to work for anyone else. And then usually we sort of figure out that this might have something to do with their English proficiency as well, that if they only answer to themselves, then it doesn't really matter how how well we can speak English as well. So that sounds
obvious. Well, we've sort of wondered where that comes from. Is it because they did this sort of work in their country of origin, and in some cases a little bit, but not a lot. And those, like a music teacher wanting to do, a 50-year-old music teacher wanting to do childcare. Is it that counsellors are suggesting to them that they couldn't get work in this area, or that they should do work in this area? Is it a perception that your level of English doesn't have to be that high if you're talking to young children?
And I guess, especially with the women with children, with their desire to work in childcare, there seems to be a perception as well that if they work in childcare, that means they can sort of hit two birds with one stone. They can work and have their children in the childcare they're working for as well. So at the same time, they don't have to pay for childcare, and they can work there at the same time and look after their own kids.
But we actually haven't got data on that, so we're speculating. <about it. laughs> Okay. Going on with the overall patterns, there are learners who obviously want to do further study in order to continue their profession from their home country.
Again, this is an example of a Filipino woman in Seswing 3, and she was a midwife back home in the Philippines, and she wants to become a midwife here. And I think she's just starting to figure out what she needs to do and what pathway she needs to go through in order to get her qualification. And it says here, for example, in that line, and so what qualification do they want you, the nursing council, want you to do? They said that I need to provide my certificate of employment, and then I'm signed by supervisor, nurse, or something, and then some. At home in the Philippines, you mean. And then she continued on here, yes, on paper from the regulation or profession regulation or something, so that you are licensed to do your job and it's still ongoing. And that's the kind of stuff that she needs to do. And also, down here, it says that the academic researcher pointed out to her that she might need at least IELTS 7 in order to be recognized as a midwife in Australia. And that's quite a high level of that she needs to achieve. So, yeah.
Okay. We've got a number of comments of those that do go on and do some sort of English language course following the AMEP, who comment that it's actually a big jump from their AMEP English course to their post-AMEP English course, and they find the workload, they find it demanding, and they sometimes also say they find the teachers stricter. That means. The learners, there's a lot of them that have done AMEP job-related programs, such as the Work It Out program that's offered down in Hobart, or the EPP, they make very, very positive comments about those.
Do you want to? The general people who did the Work It Out program generally really, really loved it, because they learned about the Australian workplace culture and the typical interactions that happen in an Australian workplace. And also, a lot of the migrants who first came, they don't actually know what to expect when they go to an Australian workplace. What sort of rhythm people work with in Australia, what sort of conversations you have. So in this particular comment, this participant said that they put her at a health center in North Hobart, and then she said that it was a really wonderful experience, and she wishes that all participants can do something like this as well.
Okay, and we've also got some who want to do interpreting and translating courses, so obviously using their bilingual skills. Differences between groups. The younger learners, that generally means the under 44s, aspire to more professional careers, take time to study. The parents are feeling more pressure to earn income and meet childcare needs. The childcare, beauty therapy, aged care, there is a little bit of a tendency towards women expressing more interest in those sorts of courses. And we're also finding that there's a difference between the focus of courses and the SESWI level. So the lower level, like I think it was Laura talking yesterday about how the level ones are more general and not as focused and specific in their aspirations. We found the same sort of thing in this part of the data as well. The level one students, their early comments largely talked about just learning English and they don't say anything about other areas of study until the third and fourth quarters. So I think we've got a sample of the spreadsheets that we developed from their comments.
Well, if you see here, it's wide, but if you see here, this is the center numbers right here. So it's this table, I sort of try to get a sample from three different centers. And if you can see, this is quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. In the first two quarters, they didn't really say anything about what they want to do after AMEP. And this could be for a number of things, but one of the reasons might be because their English wasn't good enough in quarter one or two. They couldn't express themselves that well by that stage, or maybe it was just the way the questions were asked. And by the third and fourth quarters, usually they have a little bit more of an idea about what they want to do after the AMEP, maybe for learning further English studies or to enroll in some sort of vocational course. So yeah, that's a general pattern that we notice from SS1. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But again, they're making more general rather than specific comments, and so they talk about, they're thinking about, rather than this is what I'm going to do. Some, especially the males, say they want to get less labour-intensive jobs, and they know they need to improve their English to do that. So we've got a quotation, it's a fairly long one, isn't it? Where he talks about doing engineering rather than networks.
I think I'll just sort of sum it up. Sorry, we may be going through this really, really quickly, because I hope you can follow up, all right? This participant is a Kirundi Amlan speaker, and this person lived in a refugee camp for some time in his home country. But he, at the moment, is working in an abattoir, so it's consistent with what Mira was saying in the presentation before. But he really wants to study electronic engineering because he's sick of doing such labor-intensive jobs and wants to move into sort of more less laborious jobs. So, but here he's saying, I'll probably be here again for a couple of months' time, but I'll keep it up. Yeah, that's the teacher researcher actually saying that. And now I have a question for study. I wanted to continue to learn, but the problem, I don't know where I can pass, but because I have to learn electronic, or I want to learn electronic and of course. And then that person went on to say that he wants to learn electronic engineering, electronics. So what you need to do is find out what sort of steps to go where the course is. And then in the next one here, if you bear with me, the participant said, but if the program is good, I will continue to work. Yes, and in time I will go to learn the course. My English is good, but now it's not. It's not good. My English is not good. And then the teacher researcher said, I think it might be even possible to find some English book that you have, some sort of language of electronics, so you can begin to learn that language too. And the participant said, yeah, if I learn, I read the book or any book for English, I understand. I think I understand the word, the situation for the book, but now because maybe my problem is talking very quick in my language, Kirundi or Swahili, I'm not talking more. I'm talking very slow. So the participant wants to study something else that would get him out of the labor-intensive jobs, but just doesn't feel that their English is good enough at this point.
I like that little bit of the transcript because there's a role reversal goes on there where the interviewer turns into the one that's answering the question and the learner starts asking the questions just halfway through that. The level one learners also have lower rates of employment, but they also have lower rates of post-education, post-AMEP education as well. The level two learners, we've only got two centres, it is a smaller sample, but they also want to do hands-on focused courses, childcare, construction, that don't necessarily require high levels of proficiency, and that way they're similar to level one students. But they're also, when we started looking at theirs, there's real volatility in their plans. They keep chopping and changing their minds. But it's very, very noticeable. So we've got a couple of samples of those from our summary spreadsheets.
Well, all these examples are from Centre 1, so we didn't include any from Centre 12 for this particular example. But if you see the first participant, which is participant part 5, in quarter 1 and quarter 2, she said she wanted to do a certificate 3 at ACL to prepare for a childcare course and then do a 2-year diploma in childcare at, say, for a business college. And then she actually did that preparation course in quarter two. But by quarter three, she had lost interest in childcare and now planning to do a beautician course and start her own business. But by quarter four, she's planning to do a 6-month dental assistant course at Tech. So sort of changing of the minds, you kind of make up her mind. And the same year for participant seven. Perhaps in quarter one, this person would like to do structural engineering at TAFE, but then by quarter two, they want to start their own business and no entry for question three or four. And in that last one, this person wants to include the English through course and work, and wants to do a bridging course in preparation for a university diploma, but she's not sure at the moment, wants to own her own pet shop. But then in quarter two, they want to work in a laboratory and to do a TAFE course in this, and also interested in finance at the same time. So there's a bit of a changing around.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. We've done that. Okay, level three. They're much more specific with their plan, so when they talk about it, they actually name the course that they want to do, rather than saying, oh, just this sort of course or in this sort of thing. The women in level three, they're not exempt from being interested in the childcare, beauty therapy and aged care, but if they'd said that early in the project, they tend to revise their plans to go closer to what sort of work they did in their country of origin. They're often very articulate, and they often demonstrate that they know the details of the courses that they're doing, the pathways, and this actually improves over time with this group. And this is one of the learners. Mm-hmm. She's a laboratory chemist in China.
Yeah, and she's obviously done her research about what she needs to do in order to achieve the same kind of job that she had back in China. So before, I think I attend the Work It Out program, and they give me this in the laboratory. My teacher is very excited and say, you can come here, so I accept. And okay, good, so how long does the course go for? 2 years. And you finish with a certificate or diploma? Diploma. If the certificate three, then only 1 year. Okay. And the participant said, I talked to him, I want to use 1 year to get the diploma, because I'll get the diploma because I have a chemist background. And they will say, no, use 1 year, you just familiar with all the words in this area. And so, okay, because you work as a chemist in China, didn't you? Yes. Okay, so in the course you're studying chemistry, biology, mathematics? Yeah, the math is on Monday morning, but already passed. So this person already knows what she needs to do in order to achieve the
contract. She knew about RPL, and she'd actually gone and arranged that so that she was exempted from that part of the course. The level threes were much more likely to be looking at moving into work, the same sort of profession or work that they did in their country of origin than the other groups. They plan the steps along the way, they think strategically, they find out more as the data collection went on. So if I think of one of the participants that I worked with in Hobart, who was quite an experienced midwife in Japan, at the beginning, yeah, she's doing the English course, and she says, yeah, she would like to practice as a midwife when she gets the opportunity. And then by the second data collection, she got a job in aged care, partly because it gave her income, but partly because she saw that's the sort of work she could get in healthcare with her level of English at that stage, and that started to give her insights into an aspect of the healthcare system in Australia. And she'd also found out that that her qualifications would have to be assessed by the Nursing Council or whoever the qualifications body was in Tasmania. By the third data collection, she knew that her qualifications could be recognised, but she would have to have an IELTS of at least, I think it was 7. And by the fourth data collection, she was able to tell me that she thought the third data collection, she needed IELTS 7, and she thought she would have to do some sort of bridging course. And by the fourth data collection, she was able to tell me that if she got the IELTS, and it was within 2 years of when she last practiced in Japan, her qualifications would be recognised. If she took longer than 2 years to get her IELTS at the level of 7, then she would have to do a short bridging course because it would be judged that there was too long a gap between her previous work. So that's the sort of detail that she knew about her pathways as she went along. As I said, before, we might skip this comment. They said that there was a big jump into the other AMEP classes. In talking about the AMEP, these are still the level three learners, so they're even saying there's a big jump. Those going on to the vocational courses are saying, hey, we would like to have more language in our AMEP programs that prepare us for those vocational courses that we want to do. A little bit less general English.
This is the typical comment that we got with students saying that they would like to have more vocational, less everyday English in their AMEP classes. For example, this is a center one, so this is the accessory two level. Yeah, I think it's useful for me when practice teacher name teaches about work, how to improve our English in the workplace. It was useful for me to write CV, write cover letter, everything about the workplace. And another one, quite similar to that, saying that now she's in an academic class for some and any special class, and she said she's for job seeking. And I'm learning that many kind of job Australia employment contexts. Yeah, so we lots of research about one specific job, and we try writing complaint letter, and we change the formal writing and send email, like formal emails to people. And she said yes to boss, and we practice a lot of that, and actually about listening and reading tests also concerning employment context in Australia, so it helps this participant a lot.
Okay, and just a few notable experiences that we noticed in the data. We had one level one learner who didn't stay in the AMEP for very long and then went to a certificate three, wasn't it, Vicky? Housekeeping course. And she passed the practical competencies of that course, but she didn't pass any of the competencies that required language. And so she didn't get the certificate, so that's the bad news, but she got the job. She got a job in housekeeping and was very happy with that outcome. And then there was, I think Vicky mentioned this learner before, who, when she moved to a youth-specific English course, her rate of progress actually increased dramatically. And there was also one of the participants, did a postgraduate teacher education course. Implications. That competition between the need to earn an income, care for a family, on the one hand, and on the other, the potential benefits of doing some sort of post-AMEP education for many learners. That's obviously a tension that they have to deal with. Are there ways in which the AMEP can help the lower level learners to become more aware of those possibilities and have more concrete realised understanding of what's involved? The same issue that we were talking about yesterday. They were talking about these issues through interpreters, but it just seemed they didn't have the specific information or understanding of what the opportunities were or what the pathways were. Are there ways in which learners can be assisted and supporting in planning educational pathways? It's something we're already grappling with. Issues about what the learners are aware of, what they're ready for, what's available, what sort of... One of the issues is they need to get to this level with their English, and they get to that in July, but the course that they're going for doesn't start until February. And so what do they do in the meantime? Or, you know, those sorts of issues. What about the roles of counsellors? Do the counsellors suggest the easier, more short-term, immediate options? And does that limit the longer-term options for some learners? And planning around the constraints of the system. So one of the issues, I think, when we talked about that learner that got the level three, if she passed the level three certificate in housekeeping, and then she wanted to go back and do certificate two, there were issues to do with Centrelink support and eligibility that you can't go down to a lower level certificate and be supported. So there are little things in the system that can be traps for people. That's it. Okay.